amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we're going to start with chapter 3 tonight. Chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3. On Wednesday nights, we'll be going through and teaching on the life of Ruth. And I trust that you've been able to glean much from the book of Ruth. I mean, it's just a powerful, powerful book of the Bible. And when you read it, you think it might be about more about Naomi, but God has preserved it as the book of Ruth. So as we read it, we need to read it with Ruth in mind, Ruth's perspective in mind. And this was a lost Moabitess raised to believe in the gods of Baal and had an opportunity to know the God of Israel. And she chose the God of Israel after she looked at the both of them and weighed out all of the different things, and her heart and her mind went to the God of Israel. And so Naomi was Ruth's connection to understand more and more about the God of Israel. She went back to Israel with Naomi after God had chastened Naomi and got her back to where she needed to be. And then Ruth started learning about the things, how God would deal with his people, first of all, and how God would take care of the poor. Because Ruth and Naomi, as they returned empty, without anything, very poor and needy. And she was willing to look to God and do what God's plan was for the poor and needy, and that was to glean behind the reapers. God controlled the circumstances. It was the time of harvest when they came back. And Ruth was willing to go out and to work and to provide for her and Naomi. And God led them to the right field, led them to the field of Boaz. And as we looked at the end of chapter 2, we found that Boaz now is introduced. Naomi realizes that he is their kinsman redeemer. Ruth is still somewhat ignorant of all the different ways of God. But now she knows that she has an opportunity to be married and to be redeemed. And Ruth's, all of Naomi's possessions could be purchased by the kinsman redeemer. He could marry Ruth and they could live happily ever after. Amen. And so they found out all this there by the end of chapter 2. And there was so much more that we've studied during that time. But this lost Moabitess is chosen by God to be part of the seed line of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, when you think of Ruth, I put her in the same category, if you will, with David, a shepherd boy, whom, as he looked at God, became the king, something that should not have happened, a shepherd boy becoming the king of Israel and in the seed line of Christ. Well, before even David was born, you see, Ruth was a lost Moabitess. God's love for all humanity. God is no respecter of persons. And God brings this lost Moabitess back to Israel, to Bethlehem, and there teaches her the things of God, and she starts eating up all of the things of God. She starts having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness concerning God, and God puts her in the very seed line and the heritage and the seed line and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so what a blessing that is to understand the storyline behind this. Well, now we find that she has the gleaning after the reapers is over. At the time of that, she has proven herself. There's been about 6 months of gleaning behind the reapers and taking care of being able to bring the food back to Naomi. And now she is looking to get married. Chapter 3 is actually about Ruth seeks to marry Boaz. As Naomi reveals to her that he is their kinsman redeemer and that he would be the one, if he chooses to be the one, to redeem Naomi and marry Ruth. And so chapter 3, go ahead and stand with me. Hopefully you're somewhat back where we're at in the study of the book of Ruth. Try to get you to where we're at here in chapter 1 and 2. There's so much there in chapters 1 and 2, and I trust it was a help to you. But in chapter 3 here, now the first thing that we're looking to now, Ruth understands about God's plan for a kinsman redeemer. And she knows that Boaz has already shown her favor. And so we find here that Naomi is now going to make a proposal to Ruth that she marry Boaz. And so Ruth chapter 3, everybody plugged in tonight? Amen. Check yourself. You know, are you at church or are you somewhere else? Your body's here at church. And a good turnout tonight. Praise the Lord for the attendance here tonight, especially on a beginning of a wintry day here today. And it's supposed to get even worse later on, I guess. And we don't want to think about that. But you're here physically, but we're in church and we're getting ready to study the Word of God. So get here spiritually. Get here spiritually. Focus on what God has for us here tonight. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Question mark. She is presenting this to Ruth. "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we love you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you made available to each one that took advantage of it and that are here tonight. And God, I pray as we continue our study in this book of Ruth that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and minds to receive that spiritual insight and help that you have for us. Pray that you would just empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Naomi's proposal to Ruth, for Ruth to do what she needed to do, to be able to marry Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. That's where we're at. That's what's taking place here. When Ruth asks her, she says, shall I seek rest for thee? That idea of seeking rest speaks of marriage. In the Old Testament, this particular time of Bible history, again, that rest would be for the would go along with every woman finding the mate, the husband that God wanted them to have. And it would be the conditions of a peaceful and well-secured life. Now, without a husband, especially in this particular dispensation of time, life would be very difficult. It would be very difficult for widows, those who have lost their husbands. It would be very difficult for a single woman. There was not jobs as there are today. And the circumstances of life on earth in the dispensation of time that we are studying here, it would have been very, very difficult, okay? Now, Naomi knows this, and that's why her and Ruth, after they lost their husbands, they were coming back underneath the protective hand of God. And they were coming back just knowing it's where God wanted them to be, not knowing exactly how they would take care of themselves. They just trusted that God would take care of them. And when they got back and they started learning about the things that God had put in place in the law as far as how they could be provided for. And so that's exactly what Ruth was doing, was just following the direction of God's designed will for their lives. If they were in need, this is what they were to do. And then God brings upon them, only by the grace and the mercy of God, a kinsman redeemer that might be willing to redeem Naomi as far as repurchase the properties that Elimelech, her husband, had at one point. He could purchase everything that Elimelech had, And he would be the one that would be able to marry Ruth and sustain Ruth for the rest of her life. Again, bring her rest, that it may be well with thee. So this rest or this marriage to Boaz would be the conditions of a peaceful and well-secured life. So that's what Naomi is proposing to Ruth, and that Boaz would be their redeemer. Old Testament Israel, again, and even not only in Israel, but in the time on the dispensation of time of humanity at this time was totally different. In Israel, though, in Israel, as you know, they were to represent the righteous God to a very unrighteous, unholy world. It was the Israel that had the laws of God that were commanded to live differently so that they could be the light of the world even in this particular dispensation of time. They were to represent a creator God, a holy God, to an unholy world. And if people of the world were going to get saved, if they were going to be able to have a God that they could look to, the true God, they would have to look to the example of Israel, and they would have to desire to look to the God of Israel. And that's, we look in the Old Testament, that's why they were there. They were there to represent God to the rest of the world. And so even in Israel at this time, there was something that today we look at, and you know, we're very turned off by it, and which I think we should be. I think God would have us be today. But at that time, there were arranged marriages. God's plan was to protect, first of all, the children, and also to get them to put their trust in their parents. The intent was right. Because the parents would have a little bit more insight into life than what the children would have. Now that's the same today. The parents would have lived a life, they would have experienced more, they would have a lot to offer to their children if their children would listen to them. God's plan was to design laws to force the children to listen to their parents and obey their parents and honor their parents. The trust would be placed in parents for protection. Now, no doubt, at that time and throughout even the dispensations of time, what God intended for good, man has turned into something not so good. Man has often abused the intent of God. We look in at the United States of America and our forefathers establishing laws based upon biblical principles and based upon what God has given to us for this New Testament church age. And we have established, I think, one of the greatest governments according to the Constitution of the world. And if we would abide by the meaning of every law that was placed over our society, then it would be blessed. But there has been much abuse, and there continues to be much abuse by leadership, those elected authorities, as well as citizens abusing that. That is humanity. That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, if you will. After their fall, and then how that the nature of man continued to just to go downhill, and Satan was having control because he had a sin nature. All the things that took place there. So as we look back to this time again, and we find here in Ruth, this is a lot of it. Now, it's going to identify with, and it's somewhat symbolic of Boaz being the Redeemer who would marry Ruth. And we know that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer today. And spiritually, as we look at that and we see how it applies to the gospel of Jesus Christ today, Jesus being our Redeemer. And as we submit to Him and we actually receive Him as our Savior, He also becomes, we become the bride of Christ. As a Redeemer, He is speaking to us as His bride. The church is the bride of Christ. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, it talks a lot about marriage. And then Paul says, but I'm speaking about Jesus and the church. And so there's a lot of similarities, and we'll get into that as we continue on in chapter 3. But this idea of marriage, it is a sacred relationship. Salvation is a sacred relationship. And we find here that as we get to this point, there had to be a proposal for marriage. And the one that proposes marriage to Ruth is her guardian, which would be taking the place of her parent. Now, it's a mother-in-law, but it's her guardian. And so she is watching out for Ruth. And Ruth also being new to Israel, not understanding much about a redeemer, not understanding about a kinsman. And so we find here that she is learning, as in Christianity today, when you get saved, everyone gets saved as a babe in Christ, and we need to grow. As we grow spiritually, it is our understanding of things. It is our growth with a knowledge and understanding of Christianity, of Christ-likeness, and the knowledge of the Bible. And the more you learn, that's how you grow as a Christian, learning more and more about Christ, learning more and more about His Word, His will for your life. And every Christian ought to have a desire to grow, to learn more and more about a Savior, about the life of the Savior, about the life of Christianity, about God's expectations of His people, all in all this. And so we find that even in looking at this marriage is something that God gives to us, and it's a literal marriage back in that particular time, but it has so many implications, it has so many principles, even for us today. So this arranged marriage, the intent was right. Trust would be placed in those that would have authority, God-given authority, over you. Today, which I believe was always God's principle for marriage, but things are different. Look at Mark in chapter 10. Jesus Christ brought in the New Testament church age. He brought in this idea of God's will for marriage. It's always been God's will this way, one man for one wife. You see, you look in the Old Testament, you say, well, why did they have multiple wives? It was never God's will. God allowed that, but it was a different dispensation of time. It was a different mentality. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have the insight into the world and humanity as we do today. There was a lot of difference, but it was never God's will for there to be more than one man for one wife, and it was never God's will for divorce. It was God's will for marriage to be for life. Jesus reveals that. Now, again, there's questions about why God allowed some things in the Old Testament. Again, you have to realize they did not have the complete understanding of the revelations of God. We have that today. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have that today. They did not have the technology. They did not have the things to research as we have today, that we've had for some time. But we look here in Mark in chapter 10, and Jesus was asked about this question of marriage and divorce. Well, Mark chapter 10, verse 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, He wrote you this precept. He said, because in that day in the dispensation of time, and because of what was taking place, that Moses wrote a commandment, but it was never what God intended. God allowed it in the Old Testament. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. This has always been God's plan. And we know it better today than ever before. We have more to look at today. We have more historical understanding today. We have the New Testament scriptures, a full revelation of God's will. And so he says here, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Okay? For this cause, the reason you leave mother and father was to be married. Until you are married, it is God's will, amen, that you stay under the authority of your parents. Now, marriage, you could also look at what's taking place today, and this is speculation. We know this is what the Bible says, but if somebody's not going to get married, and they look to serve the Lord with a career, they move out. Once they are out from underneath their parents' care, then they establish their home. Once they have moved out and established in their home, they're no longer under the authority of their parent. But even after they've moved out, they should still honor and respect their parents. The parents should always play a role of nothing more, maybe, than an influence in your life. Until you are able to get married or move out of the house, then they are the authority. Once you move out of the house and establish your own home, then they are an influence. Amen. Because there's no age limit to honoring your parents. There is a point where you come out from under their authority, but you never dishonor them. That's what the Bible teaches. And so he's saying for here, he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, just the two of them, one flesh, live their lives as one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, he explained much about where they had come to the fullness of God's will for humanity. Okay, that is God's will for humanity. That's what God has always intended. You go back and you study history in Israel, it wasn't always that way. God allowed certain things, but it has always been God's will. And this is what God was always pointing the world to. God was always pointing the world to a Messiah, a Savior, Jesus Christ. He was pointing the world to a church during this New Testament church age. He has pointed us to be witnesses, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. All this everything was taking place. God had this design in mind. He knew that even though it's here in the Old Testament, it was coming to the place that we're at today. 21st century Christianity. In Sunday morning Sunday school, we're teaching on the doctrines of Baptist. And Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. Bible distinctives of Baptist doctrine. It comes from the Bible. And we have to understand that. And you ought to have a desire to know, why am I Baptist? What do I believe? Why I believe what I believe? All the different things coming into place. We're coming to the end of the church age, which is close to the end of the world. I mean, we're not going to live a gloom and doom and just everybody. But no, we're excited about it. Because it's the completion. We're coming to the end of what God had designed. And ultimately, God's crown of creation is going to be like him, and we're going to be like Christ, and we're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be quite better and much better than what it is today. So it's not something to have doom and gloom. It's something to be excited about. But I'm living in the last days, and I ought to be excited about being all that God wants me to be in this dispensation of time. And God is going to work through his church. And so praise the Lord for the church and how God will continue to work through the church throughout this dispensation of time, leading to the rapture, then the tribulation, the millennial reign, then eternity. My goodness, it's all exciting when you really stop and think about it. And we don't have to live in the early stages in the Old Testament. All these teenagers ought to be thankful. You ought to be saying amen. When I disrespect my parent, I'm not going to be stoned. Yeah. My dad does not get to choose who I marry. Well, maybe not, but he ought to have a little bit of influence on that. He should have. That's what we're getting to. As we go back to that, now go back with me. Hopefully you understand what we just presented there. Now we go back to this. Naomi proposed what she knew would be best for Ruth. As we look back at Old Testament, Abraham won the perfect example of that. We don't have time to go into all that, but Abraham had Isaac. Before Abraham would die, he wanted Isaac to be married, so he sent his servant out to pick Isaac out a wife. And he told him where to go, where he knew that his wife would have been raised to believe what she needed to believe to be his wife. And as Abraham's servant went, he went with the hand of God going before him and going with him. When he got to the place where he was instructed to go, he met Rebekah. And he asked Rebekah's dad if Rebekah could go with him to a far country to marry Isaac. And the thing that I want you to understand is in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 58, the way that it was done, the way that it was supposed to be done, they asked Rebekah if she would be willing to go. They asked Rebekah because she had a free will. It was not something that was going to be forced upon them. It was something that the parent had influence over their children, and they would talk about that and understand what was taking place and make sure that this would be well with you. This would be the type, this would be the right person that you are to marry and to spend the rest of your life with. This is the right person that will treat you the way that God wants you to be treated, and this relationship can be blessed of God. In principle, that's the way it is, should be today. Without forcing it in a in an arranged marriage, but at least allowing the parents that have raised you to help you in making some of the most important decisions of your life. Yeah. So the one proposing marriage was Naomi, the guardian. If you will, the parent. Naomi then would tell Ruth what she would need to do in order to marry Boaz. First of all, verse 2. And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So she says, let me seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. That's what she's looking to do. And she says, now is not Boaz. So she is introducing to Ruth Boaz as the man that God would have her to marry. Naomi tells Ruth what she would need to do. First of all, they would need to agree upon Boaz. And he would say to her, Boaz is our kindred. She seen Boaz as someone who had character. She seen Boaz as someone who had already showed her kindness. She seen Boaz as her kinsman redeemer, which would be the will of God for her life. Yeah. So she says, let's agree on Boaz. Now, what he's at, he's out, he's finishing up. He's still working, but he's finishing up. The harvest is over, but now there's still work to be done. And so he is in the threshing floor, separating the wheat from the chaff. That's what he was doing. He was working. And she tells Naomi, tells Ruth what she needs to do. She first of all tells her in verse 3, wash thyself. If you're looking for a man, that's a good thing to do. Matter of fact, if you're looking for a wife, that's a good thing to do is for you men as well. Yeah. Clean yourself up. Make yourself attractive. Desirable. As a virtuous woman. And anoint thee. Put on some perfume. That's basically what she was telling her to do. Put on something that smells good. Put thy raiment upon thee. Dress accordingly. And get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating of and drinking. So she tells her, he did his part. He's shown you kindness. He's shown you mercy. He's shown you grace. He's already somewhat shown that he is interested in you. And by taking care of you the way that he did, making you somewhat feel special, even as a Moabitess gleaning from the reapers. He invited you to his table. So he has already done his part in this particular time of life and dispensation of time. This is courting, if you will. He had shown her that he was interested. He did his part. She would have to then make the next step. Take the next step by doing her part. It's what Boaz would be looking for in Ruth. It's what Boaz would be looking for. Again, Naomi understood more about marriages and courtships and what needed to be done for this marriage to take place. Verse 4, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now, here in 21st century, most people would have very wrong thoughts of this. They would. But at that particular time in Israel, that was somewhat courtship, realizing that both of them were not looking to do anything unmoral. We're not looking to do anything that would be opposite the law. They were looking to do what they needed to do to show interest in each other and do what needed to be done for her to be redeemed and married to Boaz. They were both virtuous. Matter of fact, if you look there in chapter 3, and we'll get into this later on, but verse 11 it says, and now my daughter, this is his response, now my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requestest. So her actions showed him that she requested marriage. That's what she was after. And so he says, thou request, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. She was a godly woman. He was a godly man. And there was no thinking of doing what 21st century thoughts might have in a situation like this. This was all a part of what she would have needed to do in order to show that she wanted Boaz as her husband. Go to him. Lay at his feet. It's a sign of wanting marriage. Be ready to do what he tells you to do. Wow. And then Ruth's commitment to obedience. If this is what the law, this is what Israel, this is what she was expected to do, then she would be doing exactly what Naomi, her mother-in-law, her authority, would tell her to do. And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Now, it's important here. This is another look at a principle here. Partial obedience is what defeats most believers. For whatever reason, we think that our way is better. Your way is never better than God's ways. Your thoughts are not as high as God's thoughts. Partial obedience will cause you to lose the battle. If you want God's blessings, you have to be committed to all that He would have you to do. Okay, so that's the story. Okay, that's what's taken place as far as the marriage. Okay, in just the next few minutes, and we're almost done, just about 5 minutes here, but let's, the spiritual application as it relates to Jesus, our Redeemer, because it's here in principle. First of all, God proposes rest. God is the one that designed marriage. He proposes rest or marriage for whosoever will look to His Son as a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. God's plan has been passed down from generation to generation. This New Testament church age, we've had the completion of the Bible. We know exactly what God's plan is. We had the full revelation of salvation and then every other aspect of life, marriage, church, every other area of life. But what's most important is your marriage to Christ. What's most important with God's design for this 21st century church, very same as the first century church, God's design for this church age is looking to Jesus Christ and receiving Him in a marital relationship. He proposes marriage for whosoever will look to His Son. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 11, let me read it to you. We'll go a little faster, just mark it down if you need to. But Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Ruth, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden light. Come unto me. Come unto me." See, God not only proposes for whosoever, but then as we get saved, we ought to be the one proposing salvation to every other lost person, knowing that what you need more than anything else is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Receive Him as your own Redeemer. He'll give you rest. Amen. That is what the spiritual application would be to Ruth and to Boaz. And Boaz is her Redeemer. And now she is seeking marriage to her Redeemer. And He wants her to come to Him. He'll work out everything that needs to be done to get her redeemed. Yeah. What Ruth needed to do, wash, anoint, put on raiment pleasing to Boaz. Let me ask you, do you know what Jesus wants? It goes hand in hand with this. Do you know what Jesus is looking for from you to redeem you? It's what Jesus came preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What Jesus wants from anyone who he redeems is a desire to turn from their old ways of life and to turn from their sin and have their sins forgiven and be washed with the blood of Christ and be redeemed and be saved, be brought into the family of God, be married to Jesus, the Lamb of God, be part of his body, the church, be one with him in one body, the church. What he wants you to do, repent. Repentance leads a person to want to take off and put on. You see, because if you haven't repented, you don't want to take off the filth. You don't want to take a bath. You don't want to put on smell good. You think that you smell just as good the way you are. Yeah, no one wants to sit around you. Amen. Your wife kicks you out of bed. You know. No, you think that you have it all worked out. You want to be who you are and continue on in life and just make a facade of being married to Christ. No, no. What Jesus is looking for and what you need to do as you call upon the name of the Lord, you want to have your sins forgiven. You want to turn from that and you have a desire. You see yourself as something that is lost and on its way to a devil's hell, and deservingly so, because you're a sinner. And we all have sin. Jesus wants you to desire to take that off. And put on what he has for you. What he wants you to be. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 4. Let me just read that to you real quick. Ephesians in chapter 4. This is a great application of this message given to us in the book of Ruth. Ephesians in chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man with which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth and with his neighbor, and for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down. All the different things, but it leads us to have a desire to take off the old garments. Put on the new garments. That's what it symbolized. Ruth, washing. Yeah. Anointing. Putting on raiment pleasing to Boaz. It's repentance. And then she was to lay at his feet. A sign of humility. Once you know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you ought to humble yourself before him. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The problem a lot of Christians have is a failure to lay at his feet, to humble yourself. And then do what he says to do. Faith that he's going to tell you to do what is good and what brings blessings, what reveals virtue. Be ready to do what he says. What is that? Submission. Submission to whatever he says, I'm willing to do. In closing, the book of Acts in chapter 9, a perfect example of this was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus, he seen the light. He heard his voice. He humbled himself. And he says in verse 6, and he trembling and astonished, for now he knows this is his Redeemer, said, Lord, you're my Lord. I'm bowing down to you. You're my Lord. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Complete and total humility and submission to God. That'll make a difference in a person's life. It'll give you a better marriage. It'll bring more blessings into your relationship with Jesus Christ. It'll bring more blessings into your Christian life. It will fulfill you. All will be well. When you do what we need to do for marriage. Amen. What a blessing. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Yeah, we're studying this book of Ruth, but God's preserved it for us to learn biblical principles through it. She is wanting to marry her Redeemer, and she's doing what needs to be done. Boaz wants to marry her. He did his part. She would do hers. He would come back and do his. She would do hers. Listen to me, that's the Christian life. God has sent his son to die for you. Jesus went to the cross. You have to present yourself to him. You have to confess. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. Once you do that, you'll find that he gives you instructions. You have to obey. Once you obey, then he blesses. Like I said, it's back and forth, doing what you know God would have you to do throughout your Christian life. It's just a matter of continuing to humble yourself before God and to be obedient. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do. We always have an invitation. Some's already come. God spoke to you tonight. You need to come for whatever reason. Maybe you need a Redeemer tonight. Maybe you need to submit to your Redeemer. Humble yourself before your Redeemer. Whatever it might be. If God spoke to you tonight, you need to make a decision. Now is the time to do that. You can do it in your pew. You can come to this altar. You can have someone help you if you need help. But let's learn from this story of Ruth and let's desire to have a marriage with our Redeemer. A marriage that will bring blessings and wellness into our lives. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you tonight then. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for our study in this book of Ruth and for giving us insight as we study the principles, the Old Testament, see them revealed to us in New Testament scriptures, and what a blessing it is to continue to do this. Pray that you'd help our people to continue to learn all that you have us to learn from this book of Ruth and the decisions that need to be made. I pray, God, that they would be made before it's too late. Help us, Lord, just to surrender our wills to your will. Now be with us as we get ready to leave here tonight. Get direct us. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.